talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Current weather, it's hot. Did you get, well, you guys weren't sweating when you come in, but you must just got right out of the AC, didn't you? So, 94 degrees, heat index is 99 degrees, and it's hot. Dew point is 68, so I'm sure it's muggy. Wind southwest, south-southwest, 9 miles an hour, gust up to 13 miles an hour. And first thing first, before I get to my guess. So I made the mistake of stopping into Hutch's West Side this morning for the local rumor reveal that I go visit those two tables in there. Of course, man, I got it right in the face from, I'm not going to give out first names, but I'm going to go with Mr. Potter and Mr. Frazier. They were giving me crap about the other day. I announced some heifers as being second calf heifers. I mean, it's in my language. I'm not the only one out there, so I just kept my mouth shut. I figured I'd take my frustration out on the radio. And second calf heifers are three-year-old cows, whichever you want to call it. My preference is second calf heifers. So Mr. Potter and Mr. Frazier, back at you, boys. Well, today I have Larry McConnell and Randy Hargis in here for the Rodeo of Champions 83rd.
Yes, sir.
83rd Rodeo of Champions, and we're going to talk about the rodeo coming up this weekend. Both of you guys, you both raise cattle, don't you?
Yes.
We do.
I run a cattle operation up north Canute.
Yep. Up north K-Bar.
Up north K-Bar.
And Randy, where's yours?
Out north Elk City.
Get closer to the mic there.
Yes, sir, out north Elk City.
There
we raise a few cows out there.
And so we're not just talking about some rodeo directors. We're not just talking to some rodeo directors here. We got some ag industry people in here, and that's what I love to talk about. So the rodeo starts Friday.
Starts Friday night. We have it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Each purse starts at 8 o'clock, and we are really excited about this year. We've got some new people coming in. Our specialty act is a gentleman by the name of Bobby Kerr. Randy is the one that recruited him, you might say. A little.
Bobby Kerr from down around Kerrville, Texas. He has a Mustang act. He has adopted Mustangs and has incorporated them into his act, and very entertaining. He's been dress act of the year. This guy's a top hand. It'll be really good watching. Anybody that spent any time at all with a horse or trying to get an animal to do anything will sure appreciate what he can do.
Yep. That's why I'm on my second marriage. So well, that sounds like it's exciting. And then what else is going on Friday night?
Okay, Friday night is what we call Dr. Pepper night. Kids 12 and under can get in free if they bring an empty Dr. Pepper can. In the past, we've had some fine young folks bring us Dr. Pepper cans that haven't been opened. We appreciate it, but we'd rather have them empty.
I was going to say, have you had that happen? You have. Well, you know, this rodeo, this is its 83rd year. I was born and raised here in Elk City, and I remember going to it when all the Butler brothers were actually alive back in the 60s and 70s, and it was one of my favorite times of the year. The parade, because the NFR was going on in Oklahoma City then, the finals was, and there was a lot of big name cowboys come through here qualifying for the national finals.
I mean, exactly.
This is the end of the season for them, and they were, this brings back great memories.
Yes, sir, it is. You know, it is the Elk City Rodeo of Champions.
Yep.
And every year we have a world champion or a past world champion that we always try to introduce. And it's still a big draw. These guys are at the end of the year, at the end of their season. They're hustling, trying to get gathered up so they can qualify for the finals.
Yeah, I remember Ford coming through, Gerald Ford's son. What was his name?
Heath.
Yeah, I think you're right. coming through the bull riders that come through Elk City back then. It's still in my memory, the bull riders coming through here, and the arena, that's a great rodeo arena. There's always a big crowd there every time, and it's just a heck of a deal.
Well, you know, we put it on for the community and surrounding area, and we have tremendous support from some of our local businesses, and we appreciate it. Without them, we couldn't put it on.
Right.
We've got the rodeo to the point now where it's kind of a destination place on Labor Day weekend for the surrounding area, you know, being close to home. And for the price of a ticket, it's cheap entertainment.
Right.
And we also present a family atmosphere out there.
Yep.
We do not allow alcohol sales, so we don't have to put up with that. But we've always advertised it as a family affair, and that's the way we would like to keep it.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah. But I forgot to mention, on Friday night, we have a special guest coming in on Friday night, too. Pistol Pete from Oklahoma State University will be there.
Mr. Pete's going to be here.
Mr. Pete. Yeah, from 7 to 9, and we'll give the kids a chance, or the adults if they want to, for a photo op with Pistol Pete.
So what's he going to do, just be running around the outside of the ring?
We've got a place set up. It'll be on the south side of the grandstands where they can have the pictures taken. Then we're also going to put him out in the arena and let him shoot some T-shirts to the audience.
Right, so. That'll be fun. Is he going to be on shadow?
I don't think they bring the horse.
I think this one is Ranger.
Yeah.
He may be on the Ranger.
Yeah.
Is it one of our local cowgirls in this year? Isn't she the rider on Shadow Stillwater this year?
She is the number two rider.
She's the number two. Okay. Yes. I've seen something on social media.
We've got a connection there.
Yeah. I was wondering. You betcha. Yeah, we're great. So Saturday, I'm so glad you guys moved the parade back to 10 o'clock.
We hear that a lot.
I was looking at a memory on Facebook yesterday. It was eight years ago. It would be actually the Saturday, but the memory popped up yesterday, and I had my Polaris XP out there, and I had a bunch of little kids in with me. We were burning up.
Oh, yeah.
It was because the parade, it's either going to be hot or it's going to be raining.
Exactly.
You got your deal. And so, but yeah, because it was hot. And so I'm going to be doing a little bit of, I don't know what you're going to call jock works Saturday during the parade. Sean's going to be
announcing the parade. He does it for us every year.
And then Drew, my backroads man in the afternoon, him and I are going to be at the gas place. And I guess we're going to be yakking down there.
All
this
right.
is my first time, so if I hope I don't do anything bad.
I would like to mention a couple other things right quick. We are also bringing in a new barrel man this year. And his name is Cody Soesby.
Okay.
And he is one of the top barrel men in PRCA.
Yes, he is.
Wayne Brooks is our announcer, and we've had Wayne for, 8 or 10 years now,
about
Randy?
10 years. I think it's his 10th year.
And Wayne is also one of the top announcers. He announces the NFR. So we have, as far as contract personnel, cream of the crop.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Because, as far as I'm concerned, the barrel man and the announcer make a rodeo.
You're exactly right.
Besides the guys and the ladies participating in it, but the announcer and the barrel guy, they're everything.
When you get those guys in sync, a little back and forth, it's entertaining.
And these two that you got coming in know each other.
They're at the top of their game.
They're at the top of their game.
Well, it'll be good.
Before we get to Saturday, I need to pay a few bills, so let me do a little break, and we'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offers superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 + 1 = 2 and 2 + 2 = 4. So what does quality feed equal? results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, we're back. I even took an allergy pill today, and I'm still hoarse, but you guys can deal with me. Real quick, these guys got some semis showing up here at the Rodeo Arena to unload some stuff coming in. But if anybody's got a question they'd like to ask about the rodeo, you can text into the KECO Ag Line at 580-225-9697. Or if Otis and Alan have any questions about second calf heifers, they can text in too, because I won't take any live calls. So anyway, well, the parade, I know you guys got trucks coming in, but the parade starts Saturday morning at 10 a.m.
Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, and we always have a tremendous amount of entries. It's a great parade, and we appreciate the people coming out. It takes a lot to put on the parade. Yeah. The chamber, Susie, has been a tremendous help. The police, the fire, the ambulance, the city of Elk City, they have been great to work with, and we appreciate all of them. You know, back when the parade was at 2 o'clock, the police would be sitting out there in their bulletproof vest in 100-degree weather. And, you know, I know it was tough on them, but we appreciate all their efforts. They do a good job.
Yeah, it's tough to wear that vest around, and but with the Beckham County Sheriff's Department will be in the parade too, and probably the Oklahoma Highway Patrol. Yes. And so, because we love our law enforcement, so we support it big time. But they so the parade will be over, and then anything between the parade and the rodeo that night, anything going on then?
Not in the afternoon. Okay. We need to give people time to go out and eat and do a little shopping, then get fired up to come to the rodeo. I would like to mention another thing right quick. Rodeo tickets are on sale right now. We have tickets available out at Circle A Western Wear, and also out at the Rodeo Arena on the west ticket booth, the main ticket.
The one on the west side?
Yeah, Mario Davis is out there, and she's selling tickets. So if you buy them in advance, you save a little money, and hopefully take advantage of that and come on out and get your tickets.
So, anything happening special with the rodeo Saturday night besides the rodeo?
Well, each night this year we've have a new opportunity for people that are a little tech savvy here. We have a company coming in called Score It. It gives all the crowd an opportunity to judge and score each ride in the rough stock events, compare them with the PRCA judges. And it's just something that is interactive. It'll be shown up on the replay board. And there'll be prize money offered for those closest to it. And it'll be something fun. Everybody can test their skills and see what they think compared to what the PRCA judges.
Well, that sounds fun. Is that what's coming in right now?
They're coming in Friday. But also, whenever the people buy their tickets, we will have a handout available that will give them instructions on how to participate in the sport. So we're excited about it. I think
that's different.
Yeah.
We're just trying to keep up, Jimmy.
Well, you know.
And the handout will help. Everybody will get the
I just learned how to text.
QR code and all.
And here you come with this. So I don't know which night Sandy and I are going, but I'm going to have to learn how to figure this out.
Get your phone out.
So, and then Saturday night we got the rodeo, and then Sunday. We got the rodeo Sunday night. Well, there's something going on with the Sunday night or Saturday night. Did I read that on there?
Sunday night is what we call pink night.
Yeah.
We encourage people to wear some apparel that's the color pink, and that is in support of breast cancer. We make a donation to breast cancer each and every year.
Right.
Something we're proud of and proud to support.
Well, breast cancer awareness has been one of the best run deals for years on awareness, and it affects it's affected my family, so it's and I'm sure everybody's been affected by it one way or another, so that'd be cool. And I just happen to have a pink shirt.
Well, good.
See, I'm dressed by Sandy Clark, dressahusband.com. She gets me all my shirts, and she even noticed on camera yesterday I had a wrinkled shirt on.
Uh-oh.
And then she got me some new headphones like yesterday, and they're camo, even though they're urban camo. I'll wear them. So, you know, if you ever need to have your husband who thinks he's a radio personality dress, Sandy Clark's got her own website, so... Well, do you guys...
will have the Bobby Reed, who kicks off a rodeo each night. He is the skydiver.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be here again this year. And Bobby has been doing this a while. We were trying to recall for sure. I think he's 77 or 78 years old.
Is he that old?
Been doing this all this time. And he's logged, I don't know how many jumps he's logged, but... It is a spectacular way to kick off the rodeo.
It is.
That doesn't get you going, your woods wet.
Yeah, because this year that American flag means more than it ever did as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yes.
One thing you can count on about the Western folks, they know what that flag is. They know what to do when it comes in the arena.
Yep.
And it will be honored.
Yeah, they respect it.
For sure.
And we will have the Longhorn Steers back this year, and we will have them in the arena when we present the American flag horseback.
Oh,
and that's
cool.
that's a neat sight to look out there with all the Longhorn Steers and American flag. It's good.
Yeah, that's good. That's it. It's it means a lot. And that'll happen. Is that going to be every night?
Every night.
Yep. So that'll be every night. So that's great. Great deal. And hopefully the weather stays good through the weekend. I seen the forecast, it changed it up. I don't mean to be a bummer, but all of a sudden there's a 40% chance of rain.
Well, so. You know, that's part of it. You know, Western Oklahoma, we will always take a rain.
Oh, yeah.
But rain, shine, sleet, snow, we will have a rodeo.
Yep. It's never snowed during that rodeo, surely.
No, unfortunately, it hadn't. Now, we did have a tornado back in 1992.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. It did have a tornado. That's right after that tornado, that's when I moved to Kansas City, not because of the tornado. But, I had a tornado, so no, there wasn't no snow. It's always, sometimes it's got cold, but it's just, you know. We went from 100 to 70, so it feels like you went from Mexico to Alaska, so it got pretty cold. But, well, I'm excited, and I appreciate you guys coming by and telling everybody about the rodeo, and it's time for a great weekend.
You bet. Looking forward to everybody coming out.
Well, and good to see you again. Hadn't seen you in a long time. And then
I would like to say one more thing. I want the people to know that Doug Gray Ram has been with us for years. They've been a strong supporter. And also Lucky Star has joined as a big sponsor. We appreciate them.
Oh, good.
And here again, without the local support, we couldn't have the quality of rodeo that we have.
Yeah. No,
we want to thank all of them.
You got to have support. Not only financially, but, you know, spiritually, you know, it's a big deal. Like I said, I just got through telling you guys, I remember this rodeo from back in the 60s. And
well, this is a year-round work. We've already started on 2022, and we haven't got finished 21 yet.
You got anything to say about 2022 yet?
Not yet. Not yet.
Well, gentlemen, thank you again for stopping by. And I'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodford Livestock Auction. First sale this Thursday, September the 2nd. We're expecting 3,000 cattle to start the auction at it in. From Woodward, we've got 40 calves and 5. Clinton, 40 steers, Nevers, 5, 5 and a half. Woodward, 40 steers, 5 to 6. Black off the cow. McGargo, Texas, got 174 steers, 7 to 8. Winoka, 135 steers at 8. Flatbelt, 180 steers, 6 and a half, 7 and a half. Freedom, got 12 heifers at 9. Winoka, 101 steers, 6 to 7. Liberal, Kansas, 77 heifers at 7. Moreland, got 126 steers, 8 and a half to 9. Fort Supply, 180 steers, 875 to 9. Again, we're expecting 3,000 cattle. We will start the auction, 8 a.m. sharp. Got several special calf sales lined up. First one, September the 16th. One in October, three in November. Give us a call. Take a picture of your cattle. We'll put it on Facebook, plus put it on our TV in the hallway. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, we're back. Thank you, Larry McConnell and Randy Hargis from the board from the Rodeo of Champions here at Elk City. Thank you for stopping by and getting ready to talk all that stuff. But I got some fun facts for you guys. Also, a friendly reminder, Hobart Stockyards is having their sale as we talk right now. So you got your cattle there, you're probably not going to, but if you want to buy some, hurry up and get there and get that lunch from Rex. He serves it to you right in the... right in the chair. Elk City Livestock Sale is this Friday. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is Monday. So anybody need anything, call Brandon Hickey for your selling or your buying needs. Fun facts. Peanut crop. 82% of the peanut crops grown in the United States are runners. 13% of the peanut crop grown in the United States is Virginians, and 3% is Spanish. Now, I researched and looked up, and I couldn't come down because Beckham County is one of the two big counties in Oklahoma that grows peanuts, and I know a lot of runners are grown out there, and I know so where some Spanish peanuts are grown, but I couldn't get any percentages for the county through the FSA or anything, so those details ain't out yet. But we'll get there. Corn. The state of Oklahoma has 360,000 acres of corn grown in the state. Custer County, local interest is 2,400 acres. Blaine County is 800 acres. Tillman County is 12,600 acres. Caddo County is 5,700 acres. Big Boy is, if you guys listened to the show Monday, I told you I took a little adventure Sunday up there to pick some sweet corn up in the panhandle, and Texas is the big boys, the county. Texas County, that is, not the state of Texas, is 111,000 acres of corn. That's a lot of acres of corn. We go to Milo. The state has 305,000 acres of Milone grown in it. Texas County is 82,900, but the big boy is Cimarron County, which is 92,700. Kiowa County has 8,600 acres. Jackson County has 2,000 acres of Milo, and Custer has 3,100 acres of Milo. I know there's some grown in Ouachita and Beckham County, but I couldn't find any numbers on that. Well, we're back to this water deal. So yesterday, a U.S. court on Monday vacated the Trump administration's scaled-back clean water rule that has limited the number of waterways that could be federally regulated because leaving it in place could harm the environment. It's restoring the previous protections from the Obama administration. Arizona District Court Judge Rosemary Manquez said that leaving the Trump administration's navigable waters rule in place while the Biden environmental or EPA and Army Corps of Engineers work on their own rulemaking could lead to serious environmental harm, and that Trump's rulemaking process was filled with errors. President Joe Biden's administration in June announced its intent to revisit which waterways should be protected by federal regulation and begin the process of reversing the Trump-era rollback that has been urged by farmers, and ranchers, and manufacturers. They have determined the Trump navigable waters rule significantly reduced clean water protections, a major concern in states in the West face droughts. The remand and vector of the Trump water rule is a victory for six federally recognized Native American tribes who are all up in the Northeast, have sued the EPA and the Army Corps for passing a rule that failed to protect their waterways. The court recognized that serious legal and scientific errors of the dirty water rule caused damage to our nation's waterways and will continue to do so unless the rule was vacated. The tribes, they were all from up around Lake Superior and stuff, the ones that filed this lawsuit. So, guys, we're back to square one where we was back in 2013 and 14 on the water deal. So hopefully the Biden administration will come out and protect his farmers and ranchers because the original deal was looking kind of bad. Well, we got also, Mr. Potter, Mr. Frazier out there, I hadn't heard from you guys on the text line. If you need that number, it's 580-225-9697. I didn't want to embarrass you guys this morning at Hutch's West Side, but here I am. I'm waiting on you. So, anyway, from the gate to the plate, consumers are increasingly sinking beef with a story and paying for it. National beef quality audits have identified where and how cattle were raised as a key attribute for the decade, and major food companies have launched broad programs to satisfy the desire. Now, cattle producers in the United States are responding with more initiatives to answer consumer demands for more transparency of animal welfare, traceability, and sustainability. The National Cattle Beef Association announced their plan to address beef sustainability and solidify their commitment to environment, economic, and social sustainability for the U.S. cattle industry. The announcement was made during the NCBA General Session, which was in Nashville here a few weeks ago. The framework for the program was developed by Sustainability Goals Task Force, a commitment made up of cattle producers nominated from 17 states. Smith says the committee was formed of aggressive and opinionated cattle producers who pushed hard to create a position that demonstrated leadership for the industry. Ashley McDonald, Senior Director of Sustainability for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, spoke about the incentive on Ag Day's Clinton Griffins. One thing that's really important is it's not just a climate goal, it's an environmental goal. It's not even the economic goal. It's all about them, because sustainability truly is balancing the act between what we do. And we hope to convey these decisions that producers make on their farms and ranches every day are extremely complex. Social sustainability, what consumers don't know. One person might prioritize animal welfare above environmental footprint. Another might do just the affordability of food above all other issues. It's not the one person is right or wrong. It's just the reality that this is a challenge we're dealing with this society when it comes to sustainability. Well, here's some numbers here. This is a consumer opinion poll they took. 29% of the poll are worried about animal welfare. 24% are worried about the environmental aspects. 14% just want it sustained. 7% economic aspects. And 6% social aspects. 5% product information. Hell, I can get that going. 2% produce process, how it's processed. The other 27% just don't know. Sean Darcy, Senior Director of the Market for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, shared some data insights to uncover gaps in welfare. While issues of animal welfare are growing in importance to consumers, their top considerations about proteins are still issues like taste, safety, value. The good news is 62% say they find cattle producers very credible. There's room for cattle producers to take control of the story. Here's what the deal was about consumer knowledge. Are you familiar with how cattle are raised? 30% said yes. 70% said no. Economic sustainability. Demand. David Norton, president of Sysco's Specialty Meat Service, is a company that owns restaurants such as Capital Grill and Longhorn Steakhouse, express appreciation for livestock producers and the essential role they play in feeding the world. Consumers report they often or always consider this. 88% they always say, is it great tasting? 83% say, is it safe to eat? 81% says, is it a good value? 80% variety of meals. 74% is it nutritious? 51% is it raised humanely? 48% produced environmentally friendly? 40% supports the cause important to me. The demand for beef continues to walk through our front doors. Explaining restaurant sales this year was 14% above previous pandemic levels. Norton says why he appreciates how producers can come up to the table and demonstrate stewardship and sustainability. It's now time for corporations to step up. We got to make sure we're part of the solution. And they are saying that we are with us. So that's a little article on beef, because yesterday I touched on buying local beef that are raised here local. Have your beef processed locally, because we have plenty of processors around here. And so anyway, I want everybody to understand that you can save a little money by having your own beef processed here instead of going to the grocery store. But not everybody's got a freezer. Not everybody can afford to get a quarter of a beef or a half a beef at that time. And I understand that. And that's what we got grocery stores for. So I'm just pushing the issue is don't go somewhere else and buy your beef. Shop locally at our grocery stores or our local ranchers that raise beef to be processed, and we got processors around here. Well, I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We truly are a family at First National Bank. When you have a family member that's sick, everyone knows. When something's happened within your family, when you have celebrations, we truly are a family at First National Bank and Trust. We're very proud of the institution that we work for. We're very proud of each other. It is like a family. We call it our bank family. I'm Tammy DeGarmo, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 27th. 1,301 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 285 brought 210. 11 at 431 brought 205. 9 at 489 brought 185. 4 at 649 brought 151. 7 at 686 brought 144. 14 at 706 brought 143.50. 5 head of heifers at 222 brought 200. 13 at 438 brought 145.50. 3 at 493 brought 145. 20 at 582 brought 145.25. 7 at 666 brought 145. 419 at 860 brought 136. Butcher cows were 20 to 76. Bred cows 750 to 1460. Butcher bulls 54 to 9150. Pairs brought 1100 to 1550. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals. High Pro Feed. Also, Master Hand Milling and Smart Lick Tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'll be back. I'm here. I didn't go nowhere. Anyway, I got a little article here that I want to talk about. It's about when it comes to leasing farm and pasture, because we're getting to a time of the year. Well, it's any time of the year where there's a lot of things to be considered by both the owner and the renter. And I just went through this with my son this year on some property he owns down south in Kiowa County, how to figure out how to lease your land. And there's all kinds of different ways. Having been on both ends of these agreements, it definitely is important to think about all of the what-if scenarios to ensure that all parties are protected. And for a long-term relationship to continue between the two parties, the terms and conditions must be clearly communicated and discussed before signing on the dotted line. Improved pasture management with good paddock design. It's renewal season for many property owners, and you may find yourself in these discussions right now in the upcoming months. Perhaps you are considering updating your terms after decades of the same old, or maybe you find yourself in a place where you're dealing with new tenants or new owners. The dynamics of renting ground can be deeply personal and with many potential pitfalls as it relates to rates, off-farm stakeholders, competition with neighbors, the cost and labor of land or fencing improvements. So here's some of your most typical lease agreements. Cash rent, typically calculated on the basis of a fixed number of dollars per acre in the past. Many of these leases call for approximately one half of the rent in the spring, with the remaining rent due in the fall. Today, most cash rent is paid up front. A bushel lease, first one I've ever heard of this, but anyway, here it is. This lease specifies a fixed number of bushels of a particular commodity to be delivered to a specified elevator by a certain date without cost to the owner. The number of bushels is determined by negotiation, but in many cases is approximately one-third of the normal production. No government payments are paid to the landlord on a bushel lease. Net share lease. This leasing alternative has gained in popularity lately as an alternative to cash rent. It differs from the bushel lease in that the owner receives a specified percentage of the crop. Thus, if the crop yields are good, the rent goes up. The only cost the owner is usually responsible for is the drying or storage of their share of the grain at harvest. All other production costs are paid by the operator. Crop share. This is what I do with my lease where I farm at. Under this arrangement, the owner pays a share of the input cost and receives a share of the crop. In many areas, the owners share in 50% of the cost of the seed, fertilizer, and chemicals, then receives 50% of the crop. In other areas, this may be 25, 33 and a third, or 40 share, depending upon the amount of weather risk involved in the consistency of production over time. With changing farming methods and the increased land values, this lease may not be competitive as it once was. To address this issue, many leases are now being tailored to each farm situation, and new percentages such as 55% owner, 45% operator are emerging, or supplemental cash rent. Another alternative is to adjust the percentage of input cost paid by the owner. Finally, custom blend leases of custom operation leases can offer unique opportunities to mitigate risk, share on labor, inputs, and machinery costs, or further incentivize both the owner and the renter for the best match production and profit goals. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting article that I'd like to share with you. Well, I got the Long Ranger forecast here. Brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden, and it's 99 degrees for a high today. Currently, right now, it's at 95 degrees. It's warm out there, and wind southwest at 9 miles an hour with gusts up to 13. Tomorrow is 97. It's going to be hot again tomorrow. Friday, 20% chance of storms comes in at high 97 degrees. Friday night, 73 for low, 20% chance of rain. Saturday, 95 degrees with a 40% chance of thunderstorms. Same thing Saturday night, 40% chance of thunderstorms. But that temperature, I see dips below 70 degrees Saturday night. So that's a good thing. And the winds shift out of the south back out of the northeast. And a high Sunday with a 20% chance of rain. Is 88 degrees. So the forecast looks pretty good for everybody out there. Hang with me here. We got there's a deal from Tyson Foods where it's offering $10,000 prizes for vaccinated U.S. chicken workers. Tyson Foods said on Thursday it's offering U.S. chicken plant workers a chance to win $10,000 once a week for the next 5 weeks if they receive at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. The vaccine lottery is the latest attempt to encourage vaccinations by the country's biggest meat company by sales, and as the Delta variant of the coronavirus drives on increases in U.S. cases. Tyson employees are at nearly 50 chicken facilities are eligible for the prizes, spokesman Derek Burleson said. The company on August 3rd mandated that all employees be vaccinated by November 1st through the requirement of unionized plant workers is subject to negotiation with labor unions. At that time, about 56,000 employees had already been vaccinated. That's roughly 47% of their workforce of 120, according to the company. Tyson said on Thursday, these discussions with union leaders on the mandate are ongoing. We are already in alignment on the need to continue doing everything we can to do to protect our team members from the health impacts of the COVID-19 virus. Tyson is also paying up to $200 to any employee who gets vaccinating and compensating workers for up to 4 hours of regular pay if they are vaccinated outside the normal work hours or away from a Tyson location, according to the company. Well, I wonder if they're going to start doing that here. I doubt that. $10,000 to get vaccinated. I'm in. We got the USDA rolls out updates on the CFAP2 changes for the contract livestock and specialty crop producers. This was announced last Friday, and I just got to this article today, but interesting read. USDA announced updates and additions to the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, CFAP number 2, with the biggest revisions occurring for contract producers of pork, poultry, and other eligible livestock, as well as specialty crop producers who grow on a contract basis. Grass seed growers were also added as eligible for the CFAP too. The agency set a deadline of October 12th for producers to sign up or make modifications to existing application. The contract grower aid is a CFAP 2 payments eligible for contractors of broilers, pullets, layers, chicken eggs, turkeys, and hogs and pigs with duck, geese, pheasant, and quail produced under this contract are also eligible for these commodities, along with breeding stock of eligible livestock and eggs of all eligible poultry types raised by contract producers. Contract grower payments were originally to be based on a comparison of eligible revenue for the periods of January 1 through December 27 of 2019 and January 1 through December 27 of 2020. With the changes, contract producers can now use eligible revenue for the period of January 1 through December 27 of 2018 instead of the 2019 date range. It's more representable, the USDA says. USDA said the shift is aimed at making the program more flexible and equitable for contract growers who have reduced revenue and who had reduced revenue in 2019 versus a normal production year. The revenue difference was multiplied by 80% to figure a final payment. Payments to contract producers may be factored if total calculated payments exceed the available funding and will be made after the application period closes. The COVID Act plan approved included $1 billion for payments to contract growers. So there you have it on that. I found a really good read in my magazine that I got the other day about NetWrap and how it accumulates in cow-fed ground hay. Plastic NetWrap is a common binding material for large hay bales, but it can present health challenges for cattle due to buildup in the rumen. NetWrap bales are commonly used for winter feed sources and chopped or ground feed, but the NetWrap is rarely removed prior to grinding, resulting in the hay containing pieces of plastic that are fed to livestock. Cattle producers have observed cattle with diarrhea that lose weight over a relative short period of time, exhibiting symptoms similar to hardware disease. No veterinarian treatments have been effective, and when animals were posted following a death, a wad of NetWrap was removed from the rumen. This buildup of plastic NetWrap has been termed plastic NetWrap or software disease. Not hardware disease, but software. Prompted by the evaluation of research finding at the North Dakota State University regarding the digestibility of multiple hay binding materials, result from a Montana study indicated a significant amount of NetWrap recovered in the digestive tract of cows post-harvest. So they did this test, and the first one was fed for 140 days, what its goal was is to maintain the weight and body condition of these cows individually fed grass hay that contained 88% dry matter, 12.5% crude protein, and 60% total digestible nutrients over a 140-day period. That hay was fed through a 5-inch screen. Well, here's some of the results. In all the cows, 6 of these cows were fed hay that was ground up with the NetWrap. 6 of these cows were not fed up with the NetWrap. In all these cows, most of the NetWrap was tangled together in one ball of material. However, there were several individual loose pieces of NetWrap free-floating in the rumen it contains. Once it was all sorted and balled up, the accumulated net wrap was about the size of a softball. The material that was removed from the rumen was not pure net wrap, but instead a mix of net wrap tangled with feed. Additionally, two samples from the recently calved cows also had placement tissues that had been consumed by the cow tangled in them. Here's some of the unknown facts on this study. This study indicates a significant amount of net wrap accumulated in the rumen on all the cows during a single 140-day feeding period. The fate beyond this single feeding period of this net wrap was that accumulated in the rumen is unknown. However, because it is a plastic material that is known to degrade at an extremely slow rate, it is possible at least a portion will remain in this rumen throughout a cow's life. Also unknown is whether similar amounts of net wrap will be added to the accumulations during the subsequent feeding periods throughout the life of a cow. Potentially several pounds of net wrap may accumulate over years in an older cow, with several gallons of rumen capacity displaced by net wrap. The cumulative effect of the digestive capacity and the health of the cows is unknown beyond cases of mortality. And so during this small test study, the consistent accumulation of net wrap was documented in all six cows. Additionally, cases of cows dying from complications associated with the buildup of net wrap and other plastic materials in the rumen are being documented more frequently, and this short-term project provided a snapshot of what the potential long-term implications of not removing net wrap from bales prior to grinding or feeding. And there's a lot more questions out there, so we get any updates on that, I will give you a update on that. And like I said, you guys, don't forget that this Friday is at Elk City Livestock Auction there, and Monday is Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, so make sure that you guys call Brandon Hickey on his deal. In the last few years, this is a little hay story for you. In the last few years, and some of you are just gonna, you're gonna cuss me when I read this, but I'm gonna do it. In the last few years, crabgrass has quickly become one of my favorite forages because of its nutritious value. My fascination for it started during my work as a graduate student of the University of Georgia. While at Georgia, my graduate research involved evaluating warm service annual forage systems for forage finishing cattle. Cattle grazed treatments of sorghum Sudan grass, brown sorghum Sudan grass, pearl millet, or a pearl millet with a crabgrass mixture. These were the three characteristics about crabgrass that really stuck with me following this project. First, I noticed crabgrass acted as a complementary forage, filling in with the bare spots between pearl millet plants. It really competed well with the pasture wheats. Second, during dry periods of the drought in 2016, crabgrass was able to make use of small showers that barely moistened the top layer of the soil. I presume that crabgrass, with its shallow root system and the ability to root on each node of the plant, could make use of a small amount of moisture was available. Lastly, I found that not only was the crabgrass easy to manage, but cattle would selectively graze the crabgrass first versus the pearl millet. I also saw this selectability in other pasture systems with natural occurring crabgrass was found. Collectively, his experience with this crabgrass as a graduate student was favorable characteristics that I observed during the time that really laid the foundation for crabgrass being must-have species in my forage toolbox. Not Grandpa's crabgrass, he said. Its negative stigma probably came from crabgrass persistent in cultivated crops. Good example is out there where I'm growing this Colorado grass, which is actually called Texas millet. That's the scientific name for it. I can't even pronounce the real scientific, but it's not Colorado grass. It's Texas millet, has showed up a lot around peanut fields in Beckham County. Well, I had it spread to my place last year, and I went in there and swathed it, and it might have been a little late to swath it, but I swathed it down. I actually had it tested, and I was amazed that, because I think this Texas millet is a crabgrass on steroids, I was amazed it was 15 and 16% protein. So I let it go this year, and I swathed it again. I haven't got my test results back, but it's all good. So crabgrass is not a bad thing if you're looking for forage, but if you're in a cultivated crop area, you hate it, and I understand. So anyway, it's been a great day. I'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KCO. Have a great day, and God bless.
And stay connected.
Check us out.
Stay connected
on Facebook.
KECO, Elk City.
Only time will tell. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. The top U.S. General Mark Milley saying moments ago it remains to be seen whether